My name is Naomi Porter, and I'm age 13. Today is May 28th, and I am speaking with Dawn Frazier. We are recording this interview in Rancho Palos Verdes, California. Tell me about your involvement in St. Peter's.
Involvement?
Yes.
In St. Peter's. Well, what do you want?
Sorry, don't interrupt.
I led the St. Peter's campers for about 10 years anyway, but it sort of, when I could no longer go on the camping trips, it kind of fell apart, and I don't think I was that essential to it, but it's the way it happened. So that was a thing that I was very proud of, that I was able to lead the camping group for about 10 years. And we went to lots of out-of-the-way places, and unfortunately, no one has come along and volunteered to take over the running a camping group, you know. So that's the way it is. Life goes on.
You're right. What was the first worship service like that you can remember at St. Peter's?
When was the first worship service?
Yeah, what was it like?
Well, you mean when was St. Peter's first worship service? Oh, goodness. Would have been, you know, I can't really tell you how long ago it was. It was years and years ago. And I really enjoyed leading the camping group. We'd have we had 100 people on one camp out. We had 98, and Bud Anderson and his family were coming out, and the road was rough. It was not paved. It was just a dirt desert road, and the kids were screaming. And so he got so mad that he pulled off the road and he said, okay, we're going to stop here for the night, and tomorrow morning and he's going to get up and go back home. So if they had come on, it would have been 100 people on the camp out. But they turned around and went back home. So was the high point of the maximum number week, but it was not unusual at all for us to have 90 90 people. And Ken Reeves, who was the minister then, he said, well, I can always tell when you're having a camp out because the congregation looks it's decreased.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
So, like, how was your childhood like? Like,
I was born in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and we had a summer home up in Saluda, North Carolina, and we'd go up there every summer and spend the summer in this summer home. And I used to just roam the mountains up there. My mother was concerned, but she didn't she didn't say anything. And so she, you know, they were glad to have me engaged in that activity.
Yeah. What are you proudest of? What are you proudest of, professionally or personally, in your life? What are you proudest of in your life?
What am I proudest of?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. I guess organizing St. Peter's campus was sort of a high point in my life, you know. So it was something that I really enjoyed, and we had a very active group. We'd go at least once a month in the summertime. So I had a very fulfilling life.
Yeah. Can you tell me about like an important lesson you've learned in your life? An important lesson you've learned?
And what now?
An important lesson you've learned?
Any lessons?
Yeah.
You mean that I've learned? Well, I was very active and did a lot of hiking. We had a very active camping group at St. Peter's. Now you, when's the first time you started going to St. Peter's?
I was probably 2 years old, so that would have been like 2000 and 2006.
Yeah, well, that was after I'd stopped, I stopped the camping group when I just physically was not able to run it any longer. But it was a very fulfilling program, and I was very, very happy to be part of it.
Yeah. That's great. Do you have a favorite memory that you'd like to share?
A favorite memory of the church. Well, the church was, it started out the only church there was what's now the Sunday school area, And that was, there were three rooms on this little paved patio, which is still there, there's still the original physical body of St. Peter's was is still there, and it was a very important part of my life, and my wife and I were members for, oh goodness, years and years. Margie died about 3 years ago, so I've been a widower for about 3 years now.
Yeah. What sorts of toys did you play with as a child? What sorts of toys did you play with when you were young?
Let's see. Well, one thing that I remember was a Sandy Andy. And it was a little car on an inclined track, and this little car had a cord attached to it, and it had a weight that would pull it up. There was a hopper over the track, about that big around, and shaped like a funnel, and the counterweight would pull that car up onto that little chute. And it would open and fill the car with sand, little dump car. And when it got filled up, it would go, so the weight would start down the track, and it would go down the track. When it got to the bottom, it would dump. It would just tip and dump the sand, and then the counterweight would pull it back up. And that was sort of my favorite toy that I had, that I enjoyed when I was a kid. But we every summer, when school was out, we'd go to our summer home, which was a rustic house that was about 80 years old when my family bought it. And we went up there every summer. The day school was out, we'd load everything that we were going to need for the summer. And my father was in the lumber business, and so he had about six or eight trucks that delivered the lumber. And we'd get one of those trucks and fill it with everything we were going to need for the summer, including foot treadle sewing machine, you know, you have to, and we always took that sewing machine up there. But that was a very happy time for me.
Cool. How has Christianity shaped your life? Hmm? How has your religion, Christianity, shaped your life?
You know, I was not aware that I was really a special person. I guess it didn't seem that it was anything unusual about it. You know, it was just what we did every summer. The day school was out, my father would send one of his trucks out to the house, and we'd load it up with all the stuff we were going to need for the summer, including a treadle sewing machine that my mom used to sew. We didn't have an electric sewing machine. She had foot pedals that had to do that, you know, to work. The day school was out, but we'd fill a truck with stuff we were going to need for the summer, and I would ride up in the truck, and my mother and my father would drive up on the. And our summer home was about 27 miles from our regular home in Spartanburg, and in this little town of Saluda, North Carolina, and it was a railroad town, and it had a very steep grade, 5%. That means that the tracks rose 5 feet for every 100 feet. You know, every 100 feet, it would rise 100 feet. So it was, and I had a very happy childhood. I have one brother, he's still living. That's a picture of Dave and I there. That's I'm on the left and Dave is on the right. And that was our dog, our family dog, Rowdy, in between us there. But that was, I guess I was about 6 years old when that picture was taken.
That's really cool. So what do you think has changed since you were a child to children growing up now?
What has changed in what way do you mean?
Like, I don't know, differences in the way we act or what clothes we wear, or what we like to do for fun?
Well, I always liked to hike. We were the last street. I was born and spent my childhood in Spartanburg, South Carolina, but we always went to Saluda, North Carolina, which was 27 miles away every summer. So I just look forward to summertime and going up to Saluda. And I used to just, my mother, she didn't seem to worry about me. She'd just tell me to be sure to be home well before dark. So I always kept watching the sun to see where it was, how much more daylight we had.
Cool. Is there a favorite story from St. Peter's or from your childhood that you'd like to share?
Well, let's see now. St. Peter's was, the church was what's now Reeves Hall. That was the church. The church that we have now was built about, I'm trying to think back what year it was. Anyway, it was always an important part of my life.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite story from your childhood?
Well, I guess my mom, I'd always tell her where I was going, and she didn't seem to be to worry about me. But I remember one time I took another route going home. We'd been out to Pacolet Falls with a friend of mine, George Flowers, who was my age, and he lived in Saluda. He was a full-time resident in Saluda, and Saluda was the center of the railroad activity because they had a big locomotive that would back the grade was 3 miles long, and it was the tracks would rise about I'm trying to think how many feet it would be, but anyway, it was a very steep grade, and our summer home was right on top of a little low mountain, and the tracks circled that hill at the bottom of the hill, and so I just kind of grew up, and then in the winter, when we came home, the railroad was about a half a mile behind our house, so we had the railroad in the summer, which was always something exciting going on down in Saluda. And Saluda's still a very very active and lots of people in Spartanburg had summer homes in Saluda because it was always cool up there.
That's really cool. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
Oh, goodness. Let's see if there's anything I wanted to think. Well, I went to see that schooner, that four-masted schooner.
Yeah.
I went to see every summer from when I was about 15 years old. I went every summer on that schooner. So it was a commercial schooner. And it was a lumber schooner, and we used to take a load of lumber from Charleston, South Carolina, and we'd stop at several ports along Long Island Sound. So we'd always go in one end of the sound and go to the other end, you know. But that was us, and that picture on the lower left is a sketch of a Coast Guard cutter that I was the captain of during World War II. So,
you were the captain of it?
Yeah.
Really? What was that like?
Huh?
What was that like, being the captain of that ship?
It was interesting. Something always happening, you know, and so I enjoyed my time in the service. It was really I was delighted that I didn't have to go in the army.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any cool stories from going on that ship?
The schooner was built in about 1910, so I started going every summer on that about 1920 something, and but I had a I really enjoyed my summers on that schooner.
Yeah, that sounds really fun. Anything else you'd like to share? Anything else you'd like to share?
About
like memories from that boat or what you did with your career?
Yes, well, we'd load lumber in Charleston, South Carolina, and then the whole cargo didn't go to one lumber company, but there was several lumber companies on Long Island Sound, and so we'd go starting at the southern end of Long Island Sound, and start going to these different ports, you know, and spend 2 or 3 days in each port. Stevedores would come aboard and unload the part of the cargo that belonged to a lumber company there, and so it was an interesting life that I had on that schooner, you know, that Coast Guard cutter that's in the lower left picture. I was a captain on that for about 2 years. So I had an interesting life going to sea. I went to sea every summer, and then when I graduated from high school, I stayed on board and for about 14 months, about two years, 2 years, and as a seaman, and I was the mate on that schooner. I can't remember the years, but it was an interesting life.
Yeah, what did you do after you went? What did you do after you sailed?
Well, I was in World War II. I was in the Coast Guard, and that lower left picture there is a picture of the Coast Guard cutter that I was on. It was a 125-foot Coast Guard cutter. We had a crew of 44 men. So, you know, I was always doing something in connection with the sea.
Yeah. What was it like living during World War II? What was it like living during that war?
During the war? I guess, you know, there were some foods that we couldn't get because they had to be imported, and during the war there was this impossible for us to get a lot of my favorite foods. Anyway, I had a good time. I wasn't unhappy with my time in the Coast Guard.
Yeah. Was it like scary to be was it scary to be in the Coast Guard?
No, I wasn't scared. I guess it would have been scary to some people, but I just didn't bother me.
That's really cool. What did you do after you sailed?
Well, I came out here. My girlfriend during my college days had book about Portuguese band, and I think it's a picture of me in here somewhere. We moved the house to where it's sitting now. It used to be 100 feet out there. And so we had to lift the house up about 9 feet and roll it 100 feet to get it where it is now. But this is the way the house is, where it is, and that's where it is now. But this is when we were moving it, you see, on these steel beams.
That's pretty cool.
This is the picture of the Portuguese Band Club, which is right down there.
And, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, it's
quite nice.
You've been there, yeah, okay, you know about that.
How has Palos Verdes changed since you've been here?
Oh, really hadn't changed too much because, you know, people just don't, they didn't want to build houses in a landslide area.
Right.
And my house was already here and already built. But we did have to move the house because at one time we were 100 feet out there.
Whew.
So anyway, this is where we moved it from.
Right, that's where it used to be.
Yeah, you know, it was booted 100 feet this way. It used to be out there, 100 feet further out there.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's been a good life.
It certainly has.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to share before we wrap up?
Huh?
Anything else you'd like to share, stories, before we wrap up?
Oh, I can't think of anything that's particularly unusual. A lot of people my age have had. We were in the grade school, and then we went then high school, and I went to a military academy up in Virginia. A Fork Union Military Academy. This would have been about 19. Well, I was born in 1916, and I'm now 102 years old.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a long time. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you so much for your time.
And you what?
Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad to...